Hey guys, just quickly slipping in before the proper start of the episode to let you guys know that I recorded this episode on Sunday afternoon before this last episode of The Real Housewives of Potomac came out. So I just say this because this episode is deep diving the conflict between Candace and Mia, and a lot of it's about Mia not really taking responsibility for her part in the conflict. So I didn't want you guys to be confused, because obviously in this past episode, Mia did end up issuing a very heartfelt, solid apology, and she did take responsibility for some things. So I just didn't want people to be confused as they were listening to this, wondering why I keep talking about Mia not taking responsibility when we did in fact just see her issue an apology. That said, I think everything in this episode still stands. Okay, guys, I hope you enjoy. Hi, and welcome to Deep Dive with Jamie Stein, where we take a deep dive look at all things reality TV, pop culture, and the world at large. I'm an intuitive and an empath, which means I pick up on the thoughts, feelings, and energy percolating in other people and the world around me. I believe there is meaning waiting to be found at every turn, if you're willing to see it. So join me as we dismantle everything from trash TV to high spiritual concepts and learn more about ourselves, each other, and how we're all connected. Hey, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with Jamie Stein. Today's episode, this week's episode, it's going to be a solo episode. It's going to be a little bit of a different solo episode than past solo episodes, in that I've got some stuff to say. I want to talk about Potomac. I want to talk about what's going on between Mia and Candace. I've got thoughts and feelings about it that are counter to a lot of the thoughts and feelings I'm seeing out there on the internet. So I just kind of want to talk through my take on it, and along the way, I will definitely do some drop-ins and, you know, also use this as a bit of an opportunity to talk about the notion of self-responsibility and that how that connects to what we end up creating in our lives and manifesting in our lives, because I think it's all here. So having said that, I'm just going to jump into it. First of all, let me just preface this by saying I am not someone who typically is what you would call a Candace fan. In fact, like a lot of people, I've never really liked Candace very much. And in fact, I will even go so far as to say I'm very, very rarely triggered by people on reality shows. And Candace is one of the few reality show personalities who at times has actively triggered me. So I'm actually really coming from a background of typically not loving Candace as a viewer. And I'll say, though I can't quite say I was on Monique's side last season, I will say I was more sympathetic to Monique last season than I was to Candace. And the reason why I say all this is because I have to admit that I've been quite surprised to find that this season, and in particular this conflict with Mia, I am finding myself much more sympathetic to Candace than I am, not just to Mia, but to any of the other women, all of whom are throwing in their two cents on the situation. And it's just interesting because what I'm seeing on Instagram and social media and the various Real Housewives forums is, you know, people really, really going in hard on Candace and calling her all sorts of names and just finding her despicable and awful. And I find myself, and again, I'm shocked to even be saying this, I'm finding myself feeling defensive on Candace's behalf. I find myself feeling somewhat protective of her. And like I said, sympathetic to her in this situation. And I feel this voice coming through saying, like, no, like, I got something to say. I got something to say about what's going on with Candace and me, and I want to say it. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk through my feelings about this situation. And like I said, we'll kind of do some drop-ins along the way and kind of just go on a journey together and see what wants to be revealed. So, okay, why am I sympathetic to Candace in this situation? Why do I feel like she's kind of getting a raw deal in all this? I guess this is what I want to say. I feel like, first and foremost, Mia has not taken any responsibility for her part in creating this situation. And so I think for me, I don't care who it is, if it's Lisa Vanderpump, if it's NeNe Leakes, whomever. When someone refuses to take ownership. Oh, by the way, Candace last season, for example. When someone refuses to take ownership of their part and responsibility in creating a particular situation, and in particular creating a conflict, but then they want to turn around and act like they're a victim of the situation, it's something that I cannot abide by. And this is what I mean when I say this is about self-responsibility and this is about manifestation. I feel like Mia, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but Mia, with the encouragement and support of the other women, is very much getting a lot of mileage out of painting herself as this kind of victim of Candace's low blow attacks. And she's really, really denying and disowning the fact that she played such an instrumental part in creating the situation in the first place. And just to get really specific, Mia did walk on to that video shoot and she did see Dorothy. She saw Dorothy and she did initiate a conversation with Dorothy about Chris and Candace's marriage. And it was kind of a shitty conversation. I mean, don't get me wrong, as a viewer, I enjoyed it because it was dark and delicious and a little salacious and it was stirring things up. But the fact of the matter is, Mia did do this. Now, when confronted about it, which I feel like Candace had every right to do, Mia at that point took no responsibility for her behavior. You know, she didn't offer an apology. She didn't stop to take in what Candace was saying. She didn't go inward and reflect and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this was my intention, but I can see how it went left and I'm sorry. None of that. Mia immediately went on the defensive. And actually, she did the exact opposite of taking in what Candace was saying in any shape, form, or fashion. And she instead totally deflected it by instead insulting the video shoot. And I want to say, I get it. I get that it's not on the same level as, you know, poking at someone's struggling mother. But up until that point, in terms of the history of her relationship with Candace, it was a low blow. It was a low blow. She was taking a real low blow and a dig at something that really mattered to Candace. And she did it in a way that to me felt very defensive and I would say mean-spirited. You know, it was like she was on the attack. She knew she was being called out for something. And rather than being able to engage with Candace on an adult level where, again, maybe she could take ownership for some of her negative intention or a mistake that she made, Mia instead decided to take a really kind of low blow jab and then dress it up as, well, you know, I'm just a CEO and I'm just giving you the truth. Again, she couldn't even take responsibility for her low blow. She keeps sort of dressing things up as if she doesn't have a negative intention. And it was at that point that Candace made her first dig about the mom, where she said, okay, your mother's low budget. Now, we've all heard Candace explain she didn't at that point know what was going on with Mia's mother. That for Candace, it was just kind of like a dumb your mom joke as a way of rebutting what Mia was saying. And personally, I believe her. I've never known Candace to really lie. People can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think she's really lied before in that way. And in fact, if anything, she tends to, as we've seen in subsequent episodes, she tends to double down on what she says. And rather than lie about it, she'll just say, I don't effing care. I have a right to say these things. So I do tend to err on the side of believing her. And so then it's just like all the other women kind of come rallying around Mia and intervening and kind of inserting themselves into it and saying, well, Candace, you got to tread lightly. You don't understand about her mother. You shouldn't be saying this. You should be apologizing. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. And I have to say, I can understand as Candace why it's so frustrating to be in a situation where Mia has really done some shit, where Mia has initiated this shitty conversation with Dorothy, which, by the way, I also kind of see Candace's point, which is Mia's doing something with her mother. Like, Mia is inserting herself in her relationship with her mother. So it's like, even, and I get it. I get that it's a different situation in the sense that Dorothy is a capable, successful woman who's on her two feet. And Mia's mother is a struggling woman who's just gotten out of jail and she's new to sobriety. I get that these are two very different women in two very different places in their lives. But there is a kind of rich hypocrisy here, or a double standard at least, that Mia literally was doing something that involved Candace's mom. And I'll even go so far as to say, as I understand Candace's point of view, that all of the other women have a lot of opinions about Candace and her relationship with her mom, and they're not afraid to say anything. This is what, like, chaps me about this. I mean, I'm going to get more into this, but the other women, man, God, they are on their high horse with this, and there is such a double standard in how they navigate these situations. Like, when we think about last season, what happened with Monique and Candace, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to get there. But going back to my previous point, it's like, I can understand as Candace, Mia's done some shit here. Mia has instigated the shitty conversation with Dorothy. She's refused to take responsibility for it. Then, in lieu of actually taking responsibility for her own shitty behavior, she instead takes this low blow jab, insulting Candace's video shoot, and once again has not answered for that either. And now all the other women are kind of like rushing to Mia's defense and basically saying to Candace, oh, you gotta keep it down. You know, you got to be careful with Mia. You got to give Mia this grace. And I can kind of understand from Candace's point of view why she's sitting there saying, look, no one's advocating for me. Like, why doesn't this woman have to take responsibility for what she's done? I didn't even mean to insult her mother. I was simply responding to what she was bringing to me. It was an accident that I went to the place of your mother's low budget. Mia, on the other hand, intentionally did some stuff. No one's asking her to take responsibility for that. And there's a kind of collusion there. And I think, you know, one of the things that I really want to say, since we know Candace well at this point and we kind of know her history, is I can also understand why this would be doubly upsetting to her in terms of triggering history, because we've seen that Candace is a woman who has grown up with a mother who where there's a dynamic where basically Dorothy is allowed to do or say whatever the hell Dorothy wants to do or say. Dorothy gets away with murder. Dorothy can hit Candace with her purse. She can insert herself in her wedding. I mean, I have a lot to say about this, actually, and I don't want to, like, digress too much. I think that I really believe that a huge source of Candace's unresolved rage is the fact that to this day, I don't think Candace has really let herself feel, know, and understand just how horrible her mother has been to her, how abusive her energy has been. I don't think Candace has really let herself know the impact that Dorothy's behavior has had on her. And I don't think Candace has let herself know the full extent of her heartache, her rage, her grief, because I feel like on some level, Candace loves her mom, and I think Candace wants a certain type of relationship with her. And I think even though we see Candace kind of drawing boundaries and doing work on the relationship to be in a healthier place with Dorothy, I still think for Candace, it's coming from a place inside of her where she's doing all this work, hoping she can find a way to make the relationship work in a certain type of way where she can still be close to her mother, she can consider her mom her friend, where she can kind of still maintain the belief, the idea, the illusion that Dorothy can show up for her in a certain type of way as a mom. And I think the truth is, I think the reality is, if Candace really let herself know what's been going on her whole life and really let herself feel that pain in that rage, she knows there'd have to be some serious boundaries with Dorothy. And she would have to give up an image and a dream and a fantasy of what this relationship is. I mean, it's basically like on some level, I think Candace still hasn't let herself feel the ways in which Dorothy simply was not there for her as a healthy, loving mom. And there's some part of Candace that is holding out, like, please come through. Please come through and in some way be that mother I needed and wanted you to be. And that she hasn't fully surrendered to the fact that those needs that young child Candace needed are never going to get met. And I think because Candace resists that, that is just the source of her unresolved rage. She cannot let herself know how furious and outraged she is with Dorothy, because it's going to mean a drastic change in the relationship. And it's going to mean she has to feel that heartbroken, devastated, grieving place inside where she mourns the loss of the relationship that she never had and she's never really going to have with her mother. You guys, I just went on a total tangent and now I've completely lost the plot. Oh, right. So what I was saying was Candace comes from this background where, you know, Dorothy has been allowed to do or say whatever the F she wants to say. And if Candace has anything to say about it, oh boy, she's going to get an earful. And you guys, as I'm saying this, what I kind of imagine slash like my intuitive feeling around the energy in the Candace, Dorothy, what's their last name? It's Chris Bassett. So it's Dillard. My kind of intuitive sense of the energy in the Dillard household is kind of like, I kind of feel like people probably make a lot of excuses for Dorothy. And I kind of feel like Candace maybe throughout her life has heard things like, oh, Candace, just basically do what you need to do to please your mom. You know, and I feel like there's probably been a dynamic for Candace of like, I want to be heard. I want to be seen. Like, why does anyone hear or see what's going on here? And again, it's almost like people just kind of want to like, they don't want to deal with Dorothy. Easier for Candace to be quiet and let sort of Dorothy do her thing than it is to try to like tangle or tussle with Dorothy. So I just really think Candace is already coming from a background and a history where she just sort of feels like other people, and in particular, other women get to do or say whatever the fuck they want to do. And meanwhile, I have to apologize for my actions. I'm just sitting here reacting to what's coming to me. And then I get blamed for it. I get penalized for it. I'm the one who has to watch my mouth. I'm the one who has to watch my actions. While my mother, or in this case, Mia, gets to do whatever the fuck she wants to do, doesn't have to apologize or take responsibility for any of it. And guess what? Meanwhile, all the other women are going to rally around her and coddle her and act like she's the victim and I'm the big bad wolf. And it's like, even as I'm saying this, I can hear this voice in Candace that just wants to say, I am not the big bad wolf. Stop making me the bad guy. Ugh, she's angry. So I want to say, like, I get all that. Now, by the way, I should have thrown in this qualification before. None of this is to defend Candace when she does go low or she starts to get ugly. And yes, there is a point in all of this where Candace got deeply, deeply triggered. And, you know, she then makes the decision, okay, you guys are going to kind of, you know, put the screws to me. Mia, you're going to go low. I'll show you what I can do. And then she, you know, vindictively and viciously goes as low as she can. Now, I'm not defending that. I am not saying it's right. I am not saying that Candace isn't playing her own part in the situation. This is not me, again, siding with Candace or, again, saying Candace is right and Mia is wrong. It's simply me holding space for a bigger picture where I really don't see either of these women as right or wrong. And in the place where I just see everyone, including the cast and also a large percentage of the viewers, making Candace completely in the wrong, that's where I feel a need to speak up and speak out and say something about this. Now, having said all that, I actually want to drop into Mia towards Candace, because I'm kind of curious to find out like what actually was motivating Mia throughout a lot of this. But before I do that, I want to make one other comment about just kind of what I see playing out on the show. And by the way, you guys, just so you know, I'm recording this. It's Sunday before the latest episode has aired, because I release my podcast episodes on Tuesdays, and I take a day off on Monday. So this is all pre whatever occurred on the episode airing tonight on Sunday the 17th. Okay. Now, you guys, don't even get me started on this whole train of thought that's been leaving the station, where basically Mia is lamenting to the other women her concerns about Candace dragging her mother's name through the mud, and that this might be the thing that causes her mother to lose her sobriety. You guys, like, this is just another reason why I just am feeling sort of defensive on Candace's behalf. And then the other women kind of going along with this and sort of like nurturing, again, this victim mentality. Let me just say this very loudly and clearly. Candace Dillard is not responsible for Mia's mother's sobriety. Mia is not responsible for Mia's mother's sobriety. No one is responsible for Mia's mother's sobriety other than Mia's mother. That is how sobriety works. This is why they say, you know, in terms of if you have a loved one who's an addict, they recommend and they advocate that you have firm boundaries, that you say no, that you don't enable them, that you don't try to fix them, that you don't try to heal them. Because the fact is, at the end of the day, when someone's an addict and someone's on the path of recovery, they are the only ones who can get themselves sober, and they are the only ones who can keep themselves sober. Yes, they can reach out for help, but ultimately, it is up to them. And the fact of the matter is, Candace aside, life is always going to be filled with adversity, setbacks, and conflict. Whether it's coming from Candace Dillard on the TV screen, calling her low budget, or whether it's coming from somewhere else. Mia's mother, God bless her, her sobriety is her own responsibility. And if she were to fall off the wagon, quote unquote, because of what Candace was saying on TV, that means on some level she was looking for a reason to fall off the wagon. Because Mia's mother has choice. And presumably right now she is in a path of recovery and she's in a program of recovery. And again, I just say this because it's like Mia trying to hang that on Candace, it completely disavows her mother of adult self-responsibility. And it demonizes and vilifies Candace in a way that she doesn't deserve. And again, I have to point out, in a situation that Mia instigated, not with just one act of messiness, but with two acts of messiness, going for some low blows, being cruel, refusing to take responsibility for her own actions. Now, on top of which, if we really want to get into the nitty-gritty, and we want to kind of assign blame, which I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not in the blame game, but let's talk about self-responsibility. Mia is the one who actually brought her mother onto this show. Mia is the one who actually made her mother's sobriety part of her storyline. Mia is the one who's bringing her mother, she's bringing her on camera to actively talk about her limitations as a mother in front of a global audience, talking about the ways her mom has disappointed her, doesn't seem to bat an eyelash in doing so, and yet then has no hesitation to turn around, point a finger at Candace, and say, "You might be responsible for my mom losing her precious sobriety." Well, Mia, if you're going to take that tactic, I mean, shouldn't you be looking in a mirror and pointing a finger at yourself? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are literally using your mother's sobriety as a storyline on the show. And I want to be clear, this isn't an attack on Mia. I understand Mia is coming from her own history. And also, let me be clear, I, of course, have incredible empathy and compassion for Mia's story and her background and obviously her survival skills. And I am going to drop into Mia in a moment. And, you know, my intention in dropping into any of these people is always to find more of their humanity. So please understand, this isn't me vilifying Mia. It's just me feeling a deep impassioned impulse to bring in a counteracting voice to this blame that's getting leveled at Candace that I just don't think is fair. And I think what's even more enraging about all of it is to then see how the other women are using this situation to suddenly have a conversation amongst themselves about how Candace is energetically provocative. I mean, Robin literally said at the dinner last week, she's like, it's almost like she baits people. It's almost like she wants to provoke a reaction out of people. And I'm just sitting there like, are you fucking kidding me right now, Robin? Like, now you want to have this conversation? Now you want to have this conversation? Because guess what? A lot of people were having this conversation last year in the fight between Candace and Monique. And you and Giselle, and I hate to say it because I love her so much, Wendy, you guys were doubling down pretty hard on the idea that Candace was blameless, had no responsibility. This was all Monique. Now, for me, it's kind of like, tell me your behavior last year was primarily motivated by your hatred of Monique without telling me that your behavior last year was primarily motivated by your hatred of Monique. How convenient that now you're ready to talk about Candace being energetically, verbally provocative with her words, with her energy, with her tone, with how she handles conflict. You didn't want to do it last year, but now you're willing to do it. And that's just why I'm just like, you know what? I just want to say, like, get out of here with that. Like, if you weren't willing to have this conversation last year, why are you willing to have this conversation now? You were totally willing to leave Monique off on an island. Now you've kind of chosen Mia as this sort of pet project that you're all kind of rallying behind in this sort of pearl-clutching way. And so now you're ready to have the conversation about sort of Candace and her provocative behavior. Okay, guys, thanks for bearing with me. I feel it's helpful for me to get this off my chest, working through some of my triggered feelings. And I feel like now that I've kind of gotten that energy discharged, what I would love to do is drop into Mia a little bit. I am really curious to kind of find out more about what was behind her various little jabs towards Candace, especially because, you know, Mia's been a bit of, she's been a bit of a mystery. I mean, she's, you know, she's a very guarded, controlled woman. And as discussed on my last episode with Hanifa, my experience is that it tends to be very hard for me to feel her and who she actually is. So, like I said, I thought it might be interesting and fruitful just to drop into Mia and see, you know, what's coming up for her around all this stuff. So I thought I would start just by dropping in from Mia to Candace, just in general, kind of like blank slate, kind of, let's just say, coming into the video shoot. Like, where is Candace in, where is Mia in relationship to Candace? Okay, so I'm going to drop in. This is Mia Thornton towards Candace Dillard. Yeah, unsurprisingly, it's just kind of like spoil little princess. And I really, you know, I don't know that much about Mia, honestly, but it's funny. I get this really clear sense that she's like watched the show. She has an opinion. And yeah, sort of looking at Candace and spoiled little princess. And as I kind of drop into it a little bit further. Yeah. Rich girl problems. You don't have real problems. You think you have problems. I've had problems. I've got problems. You don't have real problems. I don't really take you seriously. And then if I kind of just keep staying with it. Yeah, it's kind of like there's a bit of like you have everything that I would have wanted to have had, meaning like the privileged upbringing, you know, the strong parental figures, you know, people who support you. And it, but when I kind of keep going with it, there's an even deeper level here for me of I would have done it better than you. Like if I had what you had, I would have done it better. I would have appreciated more. I would have taken a better advantage of it. Like I've got more raw materials than you do. You don't deserve everything that you got handed to you. I deserve to have that kind of stuff handed to me. I have the raw materials. I have the intelligence. I have the drive. I have the insight. I should have had that. Not you, me. So yeah, and then as I feel that, like, yeah, obviously there's some sort of charged anger here. And I think if I just sort of take Candace out of it for a moment, like what this kind of reveals to me about Mia as someone, you know, who didn't have that strong family system and was in the foster care system, it feels like there's a real sense in her around like what I could have been if I had had the opportunity. Like what I could have made of myself if I had been given a better leg up or had a better chance or a better shot. And again, I feel it churning in my stomach. It's just like, it's not fair. I deserve it more than so many other people. I've got the goods in what I could have made of myself if I had the resources. And it just feels like as Mia, it's this experience of I've got so much to offer and to say and to do and to be, and feeling like this wasn't seen by others. And in the place where it wasn't seen by others, I didn't have a chance to actualize it. And because I didn't have a chance to actualize it, people just continued to underestimate me. So there's just this real feeling in me of like, I want people, I'm so angry that people don't see how much I actually have to offer and who and what I could have been if only I had the chance. Okay, so that's interesting. So I'm just going to go back in towards Candace one more. Yeah, it's just like privileged little rich girl. Like you don't know how good you had it. You don't know how good you had it. You don't know what real suffering is. You don't know what real life is. If I had had what you had, oh my God. What I would have made and created by now. Okay. So that to me kind of feels like sort of the base level of where Mia was at coming into this. So now I think if I'm just going to kind of go in sequential order, I kind of want to do Mia and the video shoot. Just like this is me kind of dropping into Mia, getting out of the car, and just sort of seeing the low budget video shoot. I'm just curious to see what comes. Maybe what was getting sparked for her. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the voice that I just kind of immediately hear is like, okay, like I would have done it better. I would have done it different. I would have done it better. This is what you're doing. Like, this is what you're doing. This is what you got going on. It's interesting. It feels very connected to the voice and the energy that just came through. As Mia, if I'm someone who kind of feels like, look, I've got vision. I've got intelligence. I've got know-how. I see things. I hear things. I know how to do things. And I feel like that hasn't been seen or recognized. Like, I feel like that didn't get supported, you know, in my journey in this lifetime. It feels kind of energetically similar to that. Like, it's kind of like, okay, Candace, like, this is how you're doing it. I would have done it differently. If I were in charge, I know how to do this in a better way. I know how to call the shots. Like, I'm not saying that Mia wants to be a recording artist or wants to be shooting videos. Like, that's not the point. It's not so much the what, it's the how. And for Mia, it's kind of like, again, it's just this flavor of like, oh man, like you've got all this at your disposal. Like, this is how you're doing it. This is how you're creating. I could have done it better. I could have done it better. I know more than you. I know more than you. And again, it's just kind of this flavor of sort of a very sort of deep and silent resentment of like, I could be doing things better and bigger and with more vision than other people if only I had had the chance and the support. So there's a real kind of charge around like, I know things, I know how to do things, and I know how to do it better than you. Okay, great. So now let's bring in, I want to bring in Dorothy, you know, because to me, Mia's conversation with Dorothy was so out of left field and it was so messy that I am curious just, you know, where was Mia perhaps in relationship to Dorothy in this conversation? Okay, so I'm just going to go in. This is Mia to Dorothy on the set of Candace's video. It's so interesting. So even before there are words that come into my mind, I just notice as Mia, when I take in Dorothy, there's this real sense of, it's like she sees Dorothy for who she is, meaning she takes Dorothy in as this sort of like critical, hyper judgmental naysayer who has a strong opinion. But it's almost like as Mia, I love it because this is what it is. Mia has that in her too. Like we just heard it, right? Like there's a voice in Mia that wants to say, I know things, I know how to do it better than you. And if you think about it, that's really kind of Dorothy's vibe as well. Like Dorothy always has an opinion and she always knows how to do it better than you. And the thing is, Dorothy wears it very visibly. I mean, this is not something she tries to hide. She is not afraid to be out loud and proud with it. And so when Mia, it reminds me of that expression, like real recognizes real. I don't know how you would relanguage this. It's sort of like hyper-vigilant criticism recognizes hyper-vigilant criticism. It's like, it's almost like as Mia, I recognize that we see things in a similar way. And it's almost like if I can align with Dorothy, I can pass Dorothy's hypercritical test, if that makes sense. Like if I can collude with Dorothy and have Dorothy's approval and be in Dorothy's good graces and get Dorothy's stamp of approval, it's almost like getting the stamp of approval of like the harshest critic out there. It's like we see things in the same way. We're part of the same club. We both have these high standards. We both know the real deal. We both have these strong opinions. It's like there's this flavor of like of this real charge of I can collude with Dorothy and I can indulge. Like there's a part of me as Mia that wants to kind of shit all over Candace, right? I kind of want to let her know. And I want to let the world know I know more than she does, right? Mia has a lot to prove. I mean, we see that. She's always talking about, you know, being the CEO of her various businesses. She has a lot to prove. And I think there's a part of her that wants the world to know how much more she knows than Candace and everyone else. And it's almost like when she sees Dorothy, it's like this comrade in arms where it's like, hell yeah, we can do this together. And I can kind of vent some of this undercover desire to have an opinion. Like, this is a woman where I can have an opinion about Candace and the way she runs her life and the way she does things. This is a woman I can have an opinion with, and she's going to go there with me and she's going to validate it for me, and I'm going to be seen and heard and recognized in this place. And so again, what this also leads me to sense, it's like, this isn't just about the video shoot, of course, right? Like they were talking about Chris. So it's like, I think for Mia, when she's looking at Candace, she's looking at the big picture of kind of like, if I had had your privilege and upbringing and opportunity, I would have done it all differently. I feel like she's just looking at all the quote unquote mistakes and messes that Candace is making. And it's like, I would have done it differently. And here's Mama Dorothy. And I know she's going to go there with me. So it's almost like Dorothy is my chance to sort of let this cat out of the bag and to get this delicious pleasure of having a partner in crime to kind of vent some of my judgments about Candace, which is really my way of saying, I know some things, I see some things, I hear some things, I've got some shit to say. And then, you know, as I follow that, of course, it's not lost on me that Dorothy is, of course, a mother. Right. And she's a mother figure. And honestly, oh God. Okay. See, this is, here it is, you guys. Now I'm finding my compassion for Mia. Oh God. Oh man, this is vulnerable. I am feeling this in my heart. Oh my God, you guys, it's almost too painful to say. Oh, it's so painful. Okay. part of what's coming through me is, for me, as someone who like didn't have that strong mother figure and was put in the foster care system, it is. It's like there's sort of this young part of her that wants to be picked over Candace. You know, it's like, okay, I'll collude with Dorothy about the mistakes that Candace... It's almost like if Candace and Mia were sisters, this is the place where Mia could be the good sister. She could be the favored sister. She could be mom's favorite. You know, except that they're not sisters. You know, they're not sisters. And Mia was the foster kid who didn't really have, like, parents that she could rely on. And it's just this feeling of like, yeah, I'm going to collude with Dorothy and I'm going to be the approved daughter. I'm going to be the better daughter. And it kind of plays into that voice in Mia that says, I deserve these things more than Candace or other people. I'm the one who's worthy of the love. I'm the one who should have the love. I get picked over her. I'm wanted. Someone is seeing my value. Someone's seeing my point of view. Someone's hearing what I have to say. Oh, God, it's really like I really feel this in my heart. And I can feel it. This is a part that Mia would never want to admit to. Never want to admit to. So in some ways, you know, it's interesting. I think I'm going to jump ahead and drop into Mia to when Candace kind of brought this up at the Reasonable or Shady event. Because now what I'm getting, I'm kind of understanding more, even more now, why Mia would go left when Candace brings this to her. Like, meaning it feels like there is something so vulnerable under what she was doing, even though outwardly it looked so shitty. And I'm wondering if that's part of why she was just so quick to like insult the video production rather than kind of really take in what Candace was saying. But let me just drop in one more time from Candace to Dorothy. Yeah, it's just me, 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 me. Like, it's like a little kid raising her hand in class. Me, 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 me. Like, pick me, Dorothy. Pick a me. Call on me. I've got something to say. I've got the right answer. It's like, that's exactly what it is. It's like the brown-nosing kid who's got the right answer. I got the right answer. Teacher is going to be so happy. I'm going to be teacher's pet. Me, 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 Dorothy. I'm the special one. I've got the right answers. I've got the right answers. Oh, God, it's just that deep need for a mother's love, even if it's like a mother as toxic as Dorothy. Oh, okay. So now let's fast forward to the Reasonably Shady event. And I'm going to kind of just drop into Mia towards Candace. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, so like when I take Candace in and she starts saying this, something happens really fast and quickly in me as Mia. It's like, it's almost like I envision it as this like steel door that just flies right in front of my heart. Like, boom, it just flies up. I'm in like protective mode, and something in me as Mia kind of shuts down, actually. It's just like I can feel it. And it suddenly, when I say that, the words I hear is, I'm all business. Like, I'm cutting off, I'm shutting down. It's kind of kill or be killed. I'm all business. Like, let me do what I got to do. Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't expect this. It really is kind of like I'm hearing the words, I don't want to know it, I don't want to see it, I don't want to hear it. Meaning just like, I'm not even taking this in as Mia. I am not even taking, like, Candace is bringing something up related to what I did with Dorothy, which if I as Jamie am trusting the information that is coming through, what I did with Dorothy is actually connected to something vulnerable inside me as Mia. Candace bringing this to me, it's just like, boom. I'm out. I'm disconnected. I am not entertaining this for one second. I am shutting this the fuck down. Oh no, you're not getting to me. That's what I hear Mia say. You're not getting to me. Yeah. And then she's the thing is, Mia's an expert at what she does. And, you know, and I kind of like that about her. I mean, the way she just totally deflected by lobbing that ball out there about the low budget music video. And I mean, it worked. It totally got things off track from the Dorothy conversation. It's just kind of like, I'm out, you know, I'm out. It just feels like something in her disassociates almost. And I think especially because it's coming from someone like Candace, who you have to remember, she already kind of regards as like a spoiled, privileged brat. And she thinks she's better than her. It's like even more like, I am not going to let you take me down into somewhere vulnerable. I'm not going to let you see me down. Not you. I am not giving in to you. No way. No how. And you know, as I'm saying this, it's like, I can feel like if she let herself be taken there, this really would take her, I think, into the level of rage that she doesn't want to feel. But also not just rage, it's like powerlessness. Oh God, yeah, I'm starting to feel like Mia's real deep sense of powerlessness. Like, it's just, it's not fair. That's just the voice I hear. It is not fair. And, you know, I've already channeled so much, so I'm kind of, I'm getting tired, so I'm not going to go too much more deeply into this, but I feel something for Mia around, like, I can't let people see how this is impacting me. Like, meaning when I say, now I'm not talking so much about the Candace situation, I'm sort of going back, like the voice that's saying it's not fair. And I'm thinking about her history, and I'm thinking about like the way that she grew up in her childhood. And it's just this feeling of like, when I hear that voice that's just saying it's not fair. Oh yeah. It's just, I feel how deep the rage burns in her heart. And I can just feel that there was no space for her rage. Just none. There was no space for her rage. There was no space for her anger. There was no space for it. Yeah. So then like when I take in Candace and she's sort of bringing this thing to me about like this conversation I had with mom, it's just like, girl, bye. That's really what it is. It's just like, girl, bye. Okay, you guys, this was a lot. So I'm gonna pause there. But I think, you know, like I said, look, this is just what I want to say about manifestation and self-responsibility. It's like, if we sort of go with what came through today and we trust the information that came through, or even if you don't trust that what came through and we just want to look at it as like a hypothetical example, it's like Mia did some shit unconsciously, you know, unconsciously, semi-consciously. Deep down, she acted from a place of vulnerability, disowned vulnerability, and she, you know, had certain negative intentions and she disowned it. And when she refuses to take responsibility for her part in this, she's choosing to just see herself as a victim of circumstance. But she's not. You know, she's not just a victim of circumstance. Her unconscious choices to, one, collude with Dorothy, and then two, to completely deflect Candace's issue with her colluding with Dorothy, has created a situation for her where she's now being poked and insulted and treated with cruelty. But I don't see her as a victim because her unconscious choices played such a huge role in what's now coming towards her from the outside world. It's played such a huge role in terms of what she's now manifesting in her personal relationships. And so I want to say, if I were working with Mia as a client, what I absolutely would want to do with her is to go back to that moment where she started colluding with Dorothy and to support her to get really clear about what was going on for her there. What was her deeper intention? Where did that intention come from? And what's the deeper need? Because if we go with what came through, her desire to collude with Dorothy is coming from a deeper need to want to be seen, to want to be heard, to want to be on the receiving end of a mother's love, to be picked by a mom. And in those needs are feelings. The anger of being let down, the grief of being let down, the heartbreak of being let down. And those are feelings that Mia, it seems, is not letting herself process all the way. Because again, it's going to take her to a place of powerlessness that she learned to protect against at a really young age. So what's great about this is the invitation here in this conflict with Candace, rather than just going to a point of pointing a finger at Candace, blaming Candace, you're wrong, you're this, you're that. If Mia is willing to instead redirect her inquiry back to herself and to her own self-responsibility in the choices that she made and why she made them. There's a beautiful opportunity here for her to feel some of these stuck, blocked feelings that she has refused to feel, and to drop into her vulnerability, not from the place of the helpless child who's at the mercy of the world, but from the place of the empowered adult who now has the room and the space and the tools to deal with her feelings in a healthy, mature, and integrated way. And if Mia were willing to get into touch with those deeper feelings and that deeper vulnerability, and to get her deeper needs met, well, then she's not going to have to collude with Dorothy. She's not going to have to feel better than Candace to trump herself up. And then she's going to make different choices in her life. And then what she manifests or creates in her personal relationships is going to be different than what she's currently manifesting in her personal relationships. And by the way, just to be clear, when I talk about Mia taking responsibility for her part in this conflict and taking responsibility for what she has created in her personal life and in her relationships, again, I can't stress enough, that is not to excuse Candace's behavior, nor is it to say that Mia deserves Candace's cruelty, or that she's to blame for Candace's cruelty, nor is it to say that Mia doesn't have a right to be upset about Candace's cruelty. Remember, this is all coming from the place where multiple things can be true at once. So if I'm Mia and I'm navigating this situation, it is more than possible and right for me to come at this from a point of view that says, okay, look, I've done my inner work. I realize there is some responsibility here for me to take. So Candace, let me own where I was coming from, the vulnerability that caused me to do something that was kind of questionable and kind of shady. I'm sorry for hurting you. I take responsibility for that. And at the same time, I don't like what you said about my mom. And that hurt. And that made me angry. And I want that acknowledged. So it's not an either or thing, guys. And I just really want to be clear about that, because I know when the word manifestation comes up, there's a way it can really be provocative for people. And I know that it's often been presented in a way, in kind of a cause and effect way, where it's almost like there's a subtext of, if something quote unquote bad happens to you, it's your fault or you're to blame. So when I talk about this notion of us creating our own realities and that we make choices that then impact or influence what comes back at us from the universe, it's not from a place of good, bad, right, wrong, punishment, reward. It's more from a place of, we keep manifesting opportunities for us to learn more about ourselves so that we can grow and evolve. And that's why the blame game deprives us of that responsibility. Because, for example, if I'm Mia and I'm just blaming Candace for everything, well, then I'm missing an opportunity here for me to learn something more about myself. But if I'm Mia and I'm willing to say, like, okay, where was my part in this? Not from a place of self-blame and self-attack or I deserve this, but simply from a place of, I am an empowered creator who's in co-creation with life in the universe. Somewhere along the way, there's something in me that participated in this. And if I can get clear on that, I can then learn more about myself. And that's going to facilitate and aid my higher evolution, transformation, and growth in this lifetime. Again, it doesn't mean that I then let Candace, quote unquote, get away with any bad behavior. It simply means I'm holding space for everything. I'm taking responsibility for my experience, and then I'm also taking responsibility for the parts of this that didn't feel good or right to me, where I feel like I have an active right to be hurt, upset, or angry.
All right, you guys. This was a journey. Thanks for staying with me. As always, follow me on Instagram if you don't already. Jamie Stein, J-A-M-I-E-S-T-E-I-N. And hey, by the way, if you do have conflicts in your life, or relationships in your life that are sort of giving you problems and you don't know why, and you want to maybe explore your unconscious landscape and what's really going on with you on a deeper level around it, feel free to check out my website, hollywoodreadings.com, and email me if you're interested in setting up a reading. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for being here as always.